This is a recording of Plan for Life Now with Dave Murray and Steve Kiliani for Sunday, June 5th, 2016. Plan for Life Now can be heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Views expressed on this program are those of the sponsors and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station. Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisor representative, Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Asset allocation and diversification strategies cannot assure profit or protect against loss. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Capital Retirement Strategies and Cambridge Investment Research are not affiliated.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL. This is Plan for Life Now with your hosts, Dave Murray and Steve Kiliani.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, hi, thanks for joining us on it's summer. I don't think it's officially summer, but it's summer.
Well, it's not officially summer, but the unofficial start of summer was last weekend, Memorial Day weekend.
Yep, thanks for joining us. You're up, why are you up on a Sunday morning? Hopefully it's to play golf. If I was up now, it didn't have to be, mm-hmm. It'd be to play golf.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be, no offense to you who's up, I'd be asleep right now. But that's okay. You're doing something important, preparing for a barbecue you may be having today. I don't know.
No, a lot of people going to church.
Church,
have to walk the dog, playing golf.
Two, I don't know if they're both clients. Maybe one's a client and one's someone who listened to the show, but whatever. We've met two people who have actually shovel manure mm-hmm. while listening to our show.
That's right. He's got to face the right direction, though, as I recall. He's got to be facing, I don't know, north or something, while he's shoveling the manure.
Right.
So how do you arrange that? Do you just ask the cows and horses to put their manure in a certain spot, or?
What do you do? You just say, it's manure time, and it's like wherever it is, you have headphones on, and you're going to roam around the farm, I'm assuming. You can tell Steve and I were both born within a few miles of the city.
Suburbs.
Because we don't even understand how to work on a farm. But if you're working on a farm shoveling manure, thanks for listening. We try to be one of the few financial programs that doesn't shovel manure, which is what we're going to try to do today. And we really sort of start with our first break that we're going to want to talk about right now. Oh, it's, wow.
There it is.
That's our, for you new listeners, you don't know what this is. But for our old-time listeners,
Or even the people, a lot of people, they're on a schedule. They go to church at 9, so they're getting in the car at 8:30, 8:45. They tend to hear the later part of the show.
Right.
We don't often do the Barry Ritholtz. We don't do that in the,
right.
the early part of the
right.
show.
Right, early Barry.
Yeah.
We don't do early Barry. But, okay, so that's Barry. So what is this? I'll set this up. This is a guy who writes a column. Mm-hmm. I think it's nationally syndicated, but it's also in the Washington Post.
Right.
Whenever it's in the Post, doesn't do it every Sunday, but it's in that Sunday business section, and there's a lot of personal finance stuff. And this one, and usually he's like on the exact same page as Steve and I. If you ever want to look up old Barry Ritholtz columns, and we'll talk about one, you'll say what's Steve and Dave's philosophy. This is it.
Right.
And this, the one we're to talk about that was in last Sunday's Post.
How many?
I don't know if I. Again, this guy is such a good writer, and he saves us from the horrible task of writing. But if I had the patience or time to write, then I would hope to write stuff like he does.
Now you're a good writer, but
I'm a pretty good writer, but I'm not
a Barry Ritholtz writer.
Oh,
you're
no.
not.
Not
a professional writer.
No, not on that level.
All right, so let's set the table for this one. The article, like Dave said, was in the Sunday Post last week. And it was titled, Say Yes to the Financial Advisor Who Will Tell You No. Right? So to even back up from what the article is really about, he kind of opens up talking about this issue that's going on right now, this discussion, this debate, whatever. It's beyond debate at this point. The Department of Labor's standards for retirement accounts that advisors act as a fiduciary for their clients. If that's all mumbo jumbo gobbledygook to you, the bottom line is that advisors are now supposed to act in their client's best interest.
Right. As opposed to doing what is, quote, suitable.
Right.
For the client.
And suitable is a much weaker standard. It really allows I'm going to put advisor in air quotes here, quote unquote advisor, to basically sell you whatever they want, even if it gives them higher commissions, kickbacks, trips to Hawaii, health insurance benefits, whatever. They could do that, and there was no conflict of interest. There was no concern about the client. And a lot of people have gone to the level of saying, this isn't enough. I mean, this Department of Labor standard, it ultimately was a compromise, you know, as most of these things wind up being. It was a compromise, so it got watered down in a few areas, and it does only apply to retirement accounts. But that's a whole, separate
right.
Multiple shows that – we've done portions on this. So this all starts with this idea of now we are going to have in retirement accounts a suitability or fiduciary standard beyond a suitability standard. So it raises the question, or Barry raises the question in his column here, is are financial advisors, are they a profession that's really akin to accountants, to architects, to lawyers, to doctors? Or are they more akin to just salespeople?
Right.
Are they just trying to sell you a good washing machine?
He really gets to the bottom line of what, I mean, I think we talk about this virtually every week in at least one segment during the show. This is starting to become, is our profession just trying to sell you something?
Right.
You know, like in the manner of a used car?
Yep.
Or are we on the level of these other professions? You know, where, and we certainly feel not only are we on that level, but from the terms of, or the position of it being critically important to you as we do retirement strategies for people in their 50s and 60s. When it's so critical that we better be on the latter side there, the professional side, not the salesman side.
Yeah. And I mean, if you want my honest opinion, no, I don't think, unfortunately, because of the way that our industry is made up, you know, you can call yourself a financial advisor and you just have an insurance license, or you just have, you know, a securities license, but no further credentials. You're not a certified financial planner. I mean, there are so many different levels that two people could call themselves advisors. Right. It'd be like two people calling themselves doctors. You know, one's gone through, this is more extreme than our industry, but one's gone through med school and residency and all that. And one person's just read a book about, you know, healing practices. I mean, you could have two people calling themselves doctor. That's a problem.
Although in the medical profession, you have that.
Yeah.
So that actually exists. But the bottom line is now there is starting to be, with this DOL fiduciary rule, actual regulation to sort of force the issue versus just it being out there.
So let's get to the heart of – that's a lot of setup there. So this might go the whole first half hour here.
We have nothing else planned for this show.
All right. That's good, because this is really – this is an important one to tackle here. So we've got this whole Department of Labor thing as the backdrop to this discussion. And the question that Barry Ritholtz asks in his column is, should an advisor do what a client wants, even if the advisor knows that it's not in the client's best interest? And – I mean, this is something that happens all the time. I mean, we've often talked about how much of financial success is due to the psychological elements of finance versus the technical elements. I mean, so much of it is, oh my gosh, the stock market went down. I'm afraid. I want to get out of stocks. Everything's up. I want to buy in. I want to buy more tech stocks. I want to buy more, you know, whatever. So he really goes through, you know, what are some of the things that, some of the common things that clients want you to get into. And honestly, I'll say I haven't even talked to you about this. I got a message from a client just a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
On Friday afternoon. I haven't even looked at it yet, but it was something about some sort of virtual reality technology. And he was saying, hey, I think this could be the next hot thing. Could we buy this in my retirement account?
Right.
And I responded, hey, I'll take a look at this on Monday and I'll get back to you.
Right.
But I haven't looked at it yet, but I can already tell you what my response is going to be. If you want to gamble on that, if that's kind of your own thing, that's your account, that's fine. Some people like to gamble. They might do it in Atlantic City. They might do it in Vegas. They might do it in a small investment account. But when it comes to your retirement strategy, I don't want to be a part of that, because that's really what it is. I mean, you're just gambling there. So he lists off here in his article, this is the Barry Ritholtz article from the Post last week, say yes to the financial advisor who will tell you no, some of the common things that they have clients ask them to do that they refuse to do. And actually, I think that's probably a great tease for the next break.
Exactly.
See, I'm getting pretty good at this.
You are getting good at this.
Only took 7 years.
That's right. You're exactly right. Let's get back to that, but we got to take a break. So our seminar that we do is retirement strategies for people over 55. So obviously we do a talk, we have a clientele, and really a game plan for our firm that is dealing with people really 50s, late 50s, early 60s. You're in that mode, you're in that place where you're either retiring soon or things can happen to make you lose that job that earned you the highest income, or you're not going to be working at that job anymore. You want to do something else that pays a lot less. All of these things is what happens to people in the future as they get into their late 60s, 70s, etc. But how do you put a game plan together for that? That's what our seminar is exactly about, using all the tools that are out there, using stocks, bonds, ETFs, annuities, long-term care insurance, whatever is out there. How do you fit what's right for you to put together a plan for the rest of your life? That's what we try to talk about in this seminar. Retirement strategies for people over 55. Tuesday, it's coming up. Tuesday, June 14th. Not this Tuesday, Tuesday after. Tuesday, June 14th at Clyde's Restaurant in Tysons Corner, Virginia. Or Wednesday, June 15th at Normandy Farm Restaurant in Potomac, Maryland. As always, our dinner and seminar is completely free of charge. Starts at 6:30. If you'd like to come, register anytime on the Plan for Life Now hotline, 888-582-4582, or just go to easy place to register is our website, planforlifenow.com. 888-582-4582 or planforlifenow.com. 888-582-4582 or planforlifenow.com. We will get to this list, finish up this break that we were talking about in just a couple minutes.
Sure, sir.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL. Plan for Life Now with Dave Murray and Steve Kiliani.
Welcome back. We're going to do what they call in the business a radio reset. Steve, radio reset.
The radio reset. In the first break, we were talking about this Barry Ritholtz article that was in the Washington Post last week. Say yes to the financial advisor who will tell you no. And we were talking about how the question that comes up, should a financial advisor do what a client wants, even if the advisor knows that it's not in the client's best interest? And, I mean, that gets into this area of, you know, do you provide a customer with what they want because that's what they're asking for, as long as you give them disclosure that you don't think it's right? Or do you simply refuse to provide service? Or do you say, no, I'm not going to do that? So in his article here, Barry Ritholtz details out with his firm some of the things that they see as not being right, you know, being not on the right track and not in the client's best interest. So I thought we could go through a bunch of these here. You know, first of all, participating in expensive investments. I was surprised by this recently that I made a comment in a meeting and I said, well, you know, clearly lower cost for your investments is correlated with better investment success, and which I take for granted at this point. I take for granted the idea that you pay a lower fee, you're going to get a better result on your investment.
Right.
And we had one client who go, whoa, you mean the opposite, right? You mean that you pay higher fees, you get better results. And he was serious. This wasn't a joke. I mean, those of you who read this stuff might think, well, gosh, how could he think this? well, this is not what he does every day. He was sitting there thinking, if I go to a nicer steakhouse and I pay for a nicer, higher price, I'm going to get better steak. It's a better restaurant. I'm going to pay that higher price. He was thinking the same thing is true with the investment industry. If I pay a higher price, I'm therefore going to get better returns.
Yes.
Not true.
Not true.
So, you know, that's kind of number one on these things that clients will want to do. Using excess leverage. So whether that's actually using leverage in an investment account in the forms of margin, or excess leverage with, you know, taking money out of their home and using that for investments or spending or whatever. Following the advice of pundits or talking heads. I mean, how many times do we hear, I heard, fill in the blank, say that this sector is going to be hot? Or I heard that the economy is going to really do well, and then it's going to tank, and then we're going to take 2 years to recover. All these people who spend a lot of time and energy talking really have no idea.
Right.
No idea. I mean, they're guessing. Over trading. I mean, that's another one. Then you could really tie that one right into market timing. I mean, we saw this very clearly last August and September, and then replayed again in January and February. The market declined. What everyone's natural instinct to do, and this is wired into us as human beings, we are wired to avoid danger, to avoid things that will cause us harm. And that's what we want to do when the market declines. That is not the right long-term move, assuming that you've put a reasonable plan in place for the long term. If you have no plan and you're just, you know, kind of guessing, then maybe it is the right
move. That's one of the biggest, you know, a lot of people say, should I get an advisor or not get an advisor? I'm trying to weigh the decision. I got to weigh things like fees. I got to weigh a lot of the stuff you've already talked about. But I think one of the biggest things you need to think about is that it is natural, what Steve was just talking, I guess what Barry Ritholtz mentioned there, there's a lot of things that your natural emotional inclination is to do one thing, but sometimes in the long term of financial, it's wrong.
Right.
It's just not the right way to go statistically over the long haul. And at the end of the day, that's how the best financial advisors earn their fee.
Yeah.
By far, they earn their fee by keeping you emotionally stable, making decisions that are difficult because the normal brain says, you know,
well,
make a move.
Let me play devil's advocate here, because let's say that you didn't really have a plan in place. Maybe you still don't have a plan in place for how you're going to retire, how you're actually going to transition some of these assets that you've been saving into income to support you. And you saw the market start to go down in January and February, you know, and then you could say, no, it's not the right thing to do to panic and sell when the market is down, but you don't actually have any game plan in place. So you could make a very legitimate argument there that, yeah, you need to do something. So when we say you don't want to panic, you don't want to sell when it's down, this is all based on the assumption that you have a larger game plan.
Right.
If you have a larger game plan, then you can sit there comfortably and say, well, the market could be down. It could go way down, but I have enough income. I have enough liquidity. I'm okay.
Right, which is why we look at our job as, I've always said this, I guess I made this one up, 66% of the job is putting the actual game plan together, the initial game plan, which takes a lot of meetings until we actually get that all honed out with a new client. And then the other 33% of this job is to obviously keep you on track, to adjust over time, et cetera. Without both, you've got a problem, and more importantly, you've got an emotional problem. We're out of time on this break.
Mm-hmm.
So the seminar we do, Retirement Strategies for People Over 55, is this you? Are you in that position where, you know what, I got to put a strategy together, a game plan? I'm 59, 60, 61 years old. I'm going to be retiring maybe at 66. That's one example. There's so many other examples, but do you have a big pension or not? That's a big question as you put this together. Retirement Strategies for People Over 55, Tuesday, June 14th at Clyde's and Tyson's Corner, Wednesday, June 15th at Normandy Farm Restaurant in Potomac, Maryland. Dinner and seminar starts at 6:30, completely free of charge. Register on our phone line, 888 582-4582 or our website, planforlifenow.com. 888-582-4582 or planforlifenow.com. We'll do some news and traffic, then we'll be right back.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL. Plan for Life Now with Dave Murray and Steve Kiliani.
Welcome back to the show. You know, a lot of comments we get, people who listen to the show, mm-hmm. not always clients, they just might be someone who just listens, they've heard. I usually run into it from friends, too, mm-hmm. who listen to this program. It must be so hard to do a radio program. How do you guys get on and do this show? I mean, is it scripted? Oh, yeah, we're writing out all this beforehand. That would take hours. But there must be a lot of prep. Here's today's prep. Literally, last Sunday, I saw an article in the Post by Barry Ritholtz, who we talk about a lot. There's the Barry music. And we like what he says. He agree, or his philosophy matches ours. Mm-hmm. I looked at that article. I showed it to you, and you said, that's great.
Yep.
I emailed it to you. And that, so far, has been the preparation for this entire show. That's, so far, this entire show has been that. That
Dave,
prep took literally me reading. I knew we would do the article after the first paragraph. I enjoyed the article. That was the prep so far for the show.
You're selling us short on the hours and hours of research we do, scanning the internet, just looking for different things.
But I do that normally.
Yeah, well, that's what I tell my wife. I go, I'm doing research here.
If we did do a radio show, I'd still be doing that, so that doesn't
why
count.
Why are you reading about the NBA? It's research.
I do that, too.
So just to reset this article that we were talking about, this was in the Post last week, Say Yes to the Financial Advisor Who Will Tell You No, and it is the columnist Barry Ritholtz, who we so often tend to agree with, and so often feels that he makes the points that we would wish to make, but he makes them more eloquently. So in the first couple of breaks, we were going through some of the common mistakes, or let me back up there, some of the things that clients will ask advisors to do that an advisor really should just tell them no. You know, this is when a client wants to commit some sort of financial mistake. They want to do this, and an advisor should not be a party to that. And the analogy I would use would be, you know, if you went into your doctor and you said, okay, yeah, you say I need surgery on my gallbladder, I think I can do it myself. You know, I mean, YouTube's got everything nowadays. I think I can do it. I'm just going to cut in there, take out the gallbladder, no problem. Now, that obviously could have some pretty nasty consequences. Once again... Some of these things in your financial life could have pretty nasty consequences as well. So we went through some of the obvious things like market timing, listening to all the talking heads on the radio and TV, trying to get in and out of the market before a decline to catch the upside and downside. But I thought there was more meat in this story here that we needed to pick off the bone here, because he really talks about the underlying way that his firm invests, and this actually corresponds with the underlying way that our firm invests. We believe that the investment markets are very efficient. And what that means is basically it takes all the information that's out there and it prices it into the price of stocks. That doesn't leave a whole lot of room for people to buy something that's way undervalued or overvalued or vice versa. So we believe in a very data-driven, educated, index-oriented approach that tries to take emotion out of this. And a lot of people will come in and they will say, hey, I found this strategy that's got a really good track record. Oh, my God, look at these last 3 years. These last 3 years, it's been blowing away its indexes. And assuming that, you know, whatever strategy is just not purely making up their numbers, which... You know, I've seen that occasionally. You look at that and you just say, great, that's nice that they've done so well. I don't think that is a long-term strategy that can survive or can succeed over the long term. And I think that's kind of the fundamental point, is you're trying to put together a strategy that you think will work for the next 10 to 20 years.
Correct.
You need something long term.
But a lot of people like to hear short-term stuff. And a lot of people are good at selling short-term stuff. And they might sell it on fear, like something going on in the news right now. They might sell it on just like, hey, this is a hot stock tip,
right,
or something like that. But at the end of the day, many, and I would say most people, fall for that short-term, in-your-face, kind of emotionally feel-good. What am I trying to tell you? Most of you fall for the Trump thing. Hate to tell you that. It's Trumpy. It's very Trumpy.
Right.
You know? Oh, my gosh, yeah. But the weeds, right, the stuff that is what you were talking about at the beginning
the details,
of this,
yeah,
the detailed, highly, you know, when you look at all the statistics over time, highly educated, thought-out stuff, boring.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not the most exciting because when you talk about putting together a strategy, you know, we're talking about some people, some people are doctors, lawyers, accountants, some of them are engineers, some of them are nurses, teachers, whatever. This is not what they do every single day. You know, most of you out there listening, maybe finance a little bit of a hobby of yours. It's not something that you spend every day looking at and thinking about. You probably don't stay up at night wondering about the most efficient way to get proper diversification and the best risk-adjusted returns in the stock market. If right. you did, you'd probably join our profession, right?
Correct. And you'd probably, many of you would be adhering to exactly what we're saying because right. you would, that's what you're doing. But on top of that, and he, Barry Ritholtz, refers to this in this article as well, if all the Trumpy stuff, I'll just, and now I have a new phrase for it, the Trumpy stuff, all the short-term stuff,
right.
your hunches, their hunches, somebody's hunch, this stuff, that, ooh, I'm worried about this, that, or the, all that short-term stuff, we don't do that. You do that.
Right.
You want to do some of that on your own? And I'm not knocking it. And even Ritholtz also says, hey, sometimes there are people who that's what they do.
Sure.
We don't do it. So we're not going to do that, but do it on your own or do that with someone else. But when it comes to your retirement money, when it comes to stuff that is, in fact, only for the long haul, the next 10 years plus, and it's so critically important that it's done correctly and that you have the assets and the income, that's sort of what we focus on, and we're going to do it, you know, it, by, I'm not saying in the conceptual way that we're discussing. We're going to do it our way or go to someone else for that short-term stuff, and that's fine, too.
Yeah, and I mean, this is what we often tell people is, you know, we'll be happy to help you manage your, you know, retirement money, the money that you need to live on, the money that you're counting on. If you want to gamble, if you want to have a little fun, if you want to speculate in some stocks, I'm not even saying that, you know, your stocks couldn't do well. You know, some people, when you take this approach, they think, well, what? You don't think that XYZ company's going to go up? No, I have no opinion on that. I don't know. I don't know any better than anybody else. If you do that, maybe it'll do well, maybe it'll do poorly, but let's not count on that money to be the money that you actually need to live on. That's bonus money.
Exactly.
That's gravy.
It's like going to Atlantic City. I'm right. not going to take my retirement plan and take it to Atlantic City.
Right.
But we're not going to with your assets. So that's sort of our philosophy there. Let's take a break again.
All right.
The seminar we do is Retirement Strategies for People Over 55. I think this program, we've been very good about describing what we're all about. But ultimately, if you're thinking about working with us, a couple things. A, if you're working with us, you're literally working with us. What makes you different than some of the other stuff I may hear? Well, or read about. Well, you're working with us. We're doing a show. If you come to the seminar and you're not forced to work with us when you come to the seminar, nobody's locking the door. Nobody's saying we're going to make an appointment with you at the seminar.
You get a free incentive, some book or something, if you sign up now.
You don't get a free book. You do get a dinner. You get fed because it's 6:30 and it's dinner time. So instead of you getting cranky, we'd rather you be listening to us.
Right.
But besides that, you're going to come and you're going to be, you can hear what we have to present, hear more about our philosophy, our specific strategies. And at the end, you can say, we had a seminar evaluation form. At the end, you can say, I'd like these guys to follow up with me or not. And if we do follow up with you, it would be me following up. And then if you work with us, it's Steve and myself working with you through the process. And I'll tell you something else about the process. I see other things. I've seen, read things in magazines and certainly heard commercials. If you work with us, you get a free consultation. Free consultation. Yeah, we do it too. Except here's what we do for retirement planning. three, the number three free consultations. Mm-hmm. Nobody works with us in at least three meetings. Nobody agrees to do anything with us for three meetings. We have a first meeting where we basically go over your situation before we dole out advice. A second free consultation where we put a game plan together for you and explain to you in detail why we have this game plan, not to mention retirement projections and stuff like that. A third meeting where we basically hone in on all this stuff together. A lot of times we have four free meetings before anyone becomes a client, because that's what probably has to happen in our world. Before you would ever agree to work with somebody, you need a pretty sophisticated plan, but you need to understand it too, not just us.
Yeah, we don't think this is something that can be done, you know, in a phone call while you're, you know, picking the kids up from soccer and in between, you know, getting your dry cleaning. I mean, this is something you've got to dedicate a little bit of time to get it right and do
right.
It right.
So this is the seminar, Retirement Strategies for People Over 55. So you're over 55. You're putting together this financial game plan that involves so many things that's going to support you for the rest of your life, right? It should take that many meetings.
Yeah.
It's that critically important. Retirement Strategies for People Over 55. Tuesday, June 14th at Clyde's Restaurant in Tysons Corner, Virginia, or Wednesday, June 15th at Normandy Farm Restaurant in Potomac, Maryland. Dinner and seminar is completely free of charge. Again, starts at 6:30. If you'd like to come, two ways to sign up. One is the phone line, 888-582-4582. 888-582-4582. The other is our website. Very easy website to navigate and use. PlanForLifeNow.com. Retirement Strategies for People Over 55, Tuesday, June 14th, Clyde's and Tyson's. Wednesday, the 15th, Normandy Farm, Potomac, Maryland. 888-582-4582 or planforlifenow.com. 888-582-4582 or planforlifenow.com, because you have to say things in free or you don't remember it. It's just a radio law. 888-582-4582 or planforlifenow.com. We'll be right back.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk. Welcome back to Plan for Life Now, 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
All right, welcome back to the show. I am Steve Giuliani, and I'm going to finish off this hour for you alone here. Dave had to take off to make it to another appointment. So what we were talking about all show here, we were talking about this Barry Ritholtz column from last week, Say Yes to the Financial Advisor Who Will Tell You No. And I just wanted to wrap this up and kind of put the finishing touches on this as we've talked about it, like I said, pretty much the entire show, which we usually don't do. What we try to be as financial advisors, as a financial planning team, it's not always going to be the most exciting thing out there. And I think this is a problem in our industry right now is, and you who are listening out there, you probably know this from listening to political shows as well, is what grabs the attention, what grabs the excitement are the extremes. You know, oh my gosh, this is fantastic. This is a great product for you. It's going to solve all your issues. It's going to take care of taxes. It's going to do this and that. Or on the other side of things, and in our industry, this tends to be where it is. It's either people who love insurance-based products, who can't stand insurance-based products, love mutual funds, ETFs, stocks, can't stand those things. It's not really very cool or sexy or exciting to take this balanced approach where we try to look at the entire financial universe, all the different products that are out there, and have an understanding for how these things fit into different client situations. And that's really the approach that we take when we work with a client, is to sit down to understand their situation. What, you know, just as an example, we sit down with someone, they've got a big federal pension, you know, retired from the federal government. They've got a pension of $100,000 per year, and they're aggressive investors. Well, that's a very different portfolio than someone who has no pension whatsoever, and they're also conservative investors. That's going to look very different. One's going to have things like life insurance, annuities, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs. One of them might not have any of those. So that's why it drives Dave and I crazy when you hear these people, you know, either on the radio or wherever on TV, who are just going to go out there and make these blanket statements that a particular type of investment, and it tends to be people who are saying, oh, annuities or life insurance are terrible. They're not terrible. They're just financial products. You've got to understand how they work, understand where they fit, understand where they don't fit. I don't think that most people go out and say, you know, oh, these tools. I always go back to this analogy because I love it, and I don't know that I came up with it. I'm sure somebody else came up with it, but I've been using it for years. I don't think too many people out there say, oh my gosh, a saw, you should never use a saw. A hammer, you shouldn't use a hammer. You should always use a nail gun. And I think there's situations where you can use all those different tools. And understanding that, I think that is really the key to putting together a financial plan that can work over the long term. And just to get you inside the mindset of when we're putting together these financial plans, you know, what are we concerned about? What are we envisioning going forward? And this is part of what we go through in the seminar, because let's be honest, you know, you listen to a radio show, there's only so much you can really get out of, you know, hearing a radio show, just hearing somebody talk sort of generally about things. So in our seminar, we try to drill down, be a little bit more specific. You know, obviously, it's a group of 20 or 30 people. We can't be your situation specific, but we can be a little more specific of how do we tackle a problem? How do we tackle that retirement planning issue? And for us, it always starts with what sort of pension income does a client have? So you walk in our doors, you have no pension and just Social Security. Well, that's a different case than someone who walks in with a big federal pension, maybe a teacher's pension, and Social Security. Right? We go from there, how much pension do you have, to how much income do we really need to create? Now, this is a hard question for a lot of people to answer. You know, some people feel like, oh my gosh, I need to have $10,000 a month, or I need to have $7,000 a month. That's a big question into getting to how much income do you need to create. Then from there, we'll get into what's the breakdown of stocks versus bonds versus real estate versus all those different things, because that is going to be how you create the long-term growth, how you have money there liquid and available for emergencies in retirement. Because believe me, in retirement, big expenses like car purchases, they still come up. So you need to have those funds available. So that's really what we try to go through in our seminars. So the seminars this month are coming up. So they are on Tuesday, June the 14th at Clyde's and Tyson's Corner, and Wednesday, June the 15th at Normandy Farm in Potomac. The seminars start at 6:30, but you do have to register ahead of time. Two places you can do this. The website's probably the easiest. So you go to planforlifenow.com. So it's just the same as the name of the radio show, planforlifenow.com. Or you can always call the phone line, which is 888-582-4582. So once again, seminars coming up June 14th at Clyde's and Tyson's Corner, June 15th, Normandy Farm in Potomac. The website, planforlifenow.com, and the phone line is 888-582-4582. We will see you guys next week right here on the radio.